In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's theme of the baptism of Christ is a familiar one. And in St. Mary's, we have a lot of baptisms. I'm all too aware of this as I try to remember the names of the six children I'm baptizing next Sunday. And when one of the mothers happens to have an identical twin sister as one of the godparents, extra challenges are presented. There's a story about baptism from times past where the deaf elderly vicar asked the parents by what name they'd like their child baptized. They said, "Lucy, sir." The vicar responded in outrage, "Lucifer, that's no name for a Christian child. I baptize you John in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Well, that story has no real connection to this morning's sermon, except perhaps that is the Trinity to which we're directed and away from Lucifer. Jesus, of course, didn't need to be baptized. As John rightly said, "I need to be baptized by you." So why didn't Jesus say, "Well, yes, John, you're absolutely right. So I will baptize you. Full marks, top of the class." Wouldn't that have been amazing for John? But that was not the way it went. I'm full of wonder at the way Jesus seems to accept the will of his Father and enter into a position where he submits himself to be washed by rough old John. It's not the way we'd expect the Son of God to be. Surely there must have been a part of him which questioned, "What is going on here? Why am I having to enter the waters in this way?" Yet he accepts his situation, humbles himself, and puts himself at the mercy of his circumstances. Acceptance is the first of three words which we'll come back to this morning, each one beginning with A. Something deeper is going on here. Here we are about to see the Trinity visible on earth, God manifest. Jesus is baptized, God the Father speaks, God the Holy Spirit descends. God the Father speaks and affirms Jesus' decision. The second word, affirmation. God the Father says, "This is my Son, whom I love, whom I am well pleased." Here there is encouragement. The voice of his dad, "Abba, Father. It's all right, my son. You're doing the right thing. I love you and affirm your willingness to enter this place." Then the Spirit descends. Filled with the Spirit, Jesus is empowered and released and ready to bear fruit. Jesus is anointed, the third A word. We hear that in our epistle, the message spread through Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism of John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good. Here's the reason for Jesus' baptism, the Trinity fully present in the redemption of the world. Jesus accepts his calling of God made man, the Father affirms him, and the Spirit anoints him. Well, you may think that's all very well, a nice, neat bit of theology, but that was then, and this is now. Well, Jesus, of course, is a model for us, so let's explore more. We have heard that Jesus submits himself into the circumstances to which he was called. He could have done the baptizing himself, but walked into the water. This is surely a foretaste of what was going to come for him. He was going to eventually get himself into deep water, hot water sometimes, and eventually relinquishing control and submitting himself entirely to the free will of the human beings around him. His circumstances were often, I'm sure, not what he would have chosen, but he willingly entered the waters. In the Bible, we see others being called to enter waters. Moses wasn't given much of a choice when he led the people through the Red Sea, and Peter walked on stormy water and got out of the fishing boat and nearly sank. What's the water like for you at the moment? Perhaps, like Peter, you're walking through a storm right now and the waves are crashing round. Or like Moses, maybe you're looking at something which seems impassable. personal difficulties of any kind can mean we have that sinking feeling, and we may wonder when we'll get our heads up again, above the water. We may be facing times of pain and suffering and wonder if we'll ever come through the other side. However, Jesus didn't moan about his lot. He's incredibly accepting. I'm sure he asked his father questions. He certainly struggled with temptations. But he taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And he withdrew with his friends, the church, and he prayed. Jesus' response to walking into the waters of a calling, life on earth, is acceptance. At this point, he's met with the Father's voice and is encouraged that he is a child of God, nothing else. He's not affirmed in his role or relationships or anything he's likely to contribute or he's done or earned. He is a child, God's child. Our response to stormy water can be the same. We need to make space to reflect and be with Jesus in the water, whatever that is for you right now. And as we pray, know the Father's words to us, "I love you, not because of what you do, but because of who you are, and you are mine." In one way, it isn't important what you're contributing, your job title, how frustrating it is being debilitated, how paralyzing the worry is, how sad you feel. God the Father will speak over you and say, "You are my child, and I love you." The Father holds us in good times and bad, and that is our deepest and most profound identity. In times when everything is stripped away and the usual comforts that form our life belts aren't there, and we're forced to ask why, we must intentionally be with Jesus and listen for that Father's voice, affirming us. And that is also when the Spirit comes upon us to anoint us and bless us. Like Jesus in the Spirit, we are equipped with every good gift to do his will. Don't let us be tempted to think that God isn't in the waters, that he's somehow waiting on the other side for us to sort things out. The world is more complicated than simply being able to say the devil wants bad things to happen or God is letting this happen. That's too simplistic for me. But what the devil does want is for us to drown, to doubt that Jesus understands. In the waters of baptism, we are dead to sin. But with Jesus, we become alive as he lifts us up. With our eyes fixed on Jesus, at the right time we'll rise out of the waters with him. Don't think that when everything is better we'll see Jesus clearly again. Jesus is right with us. So our model for dealing with raging waters, firstly acceptance. Acceptance of our circumstances and willingness to enter the waters, whatever that is for you right now. That will mean we're close to Jesus. Secondly, affirmation, where the Father speaks tenderly his voice of love that you are his child. And thirdly, anointing. If we allow our prayer lives to be deepened, the Holy Spirit comes with power and brings new gifts of prophecy, pictures, tongues, and potential to bear much fruit. If you're listening to this morning thinking things are good for you at the moment, hold on to this, because the stormy waters will come. But also consider those around you. What situations do you see your brothers and sisters in Christ, your friends and relatives in? Why are these people in difficult waters? Take those three points for them too. How can you make the Trinity visible for them? With the best will in the world, it's very tempting to try and encourage other people out of difficult circumstances, to speak platitudes that it won't go on forever, to try and make them feel better about their situation, or convince them that it's not as bad as it seems, or to avoid having the conversation about the thing altogether, maybe because you don't want to make it worse or say the wrong thing. Life can be incredibly difficult, and in order to walk authentically with Jesus, I believe we must encourage one another to accept our situations, to understand that God doesn't want bad things to happen to us, but that Jesus is right here. We need to stop being so reserved and have those difficult but deepening and painful conversations where there are no answers, save the fact that Jesus is always present and cares. Acceptance together. When one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. How can you show them the Father's love and encouragement? Can you affirm the important things and all that's good? Can you speak love and care? And can you hold them in the loving arms of the Father? How can you actively and practically affirm God's love, the Father's love? And finally, can you pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit into their situation, that you and they may receive power from God and know the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, faithfulness? I don't know whether you've heard this sermon this morning primarily for yourself or for somebody else. In a sense, as preachers often find, I'm preaching to myself. But if being in the Trinity, walking with God, means acceptance, affirmation, and anointing, then that's where I want to be, whatever the state of the waters ahead. And that's what I pray for you too.